Thank you, Nancy. An important theme, not just on Thanksgiving Sunday, but every day of the year for believers to be thankful. And I need to be reminded to be thankful. It's easy to criticize. You ever notice that? There's lots of things to complain about. Man, you never run out of things to complain about. I mean, some days I don't even need to look hard and I can find a whole bunch of things to complain about. But what happens is we overlook, as we just heard in song, the things that there are to be thankful for, I think, surpass the things that we could ever imagine to complain about. There are so many things that we can give God thanks for, and I'm thankful for you, church, and for the appreciation, and don't ever think we don't sense that or know that or feel that. We do, and we love you so much for it. And it's always, my wife says, she really likes getting in front of people and doing that, so keep that up. That's good stuff. Just, but we do appreciate you folks so much, and thank you for your love. Thank you for your prayers, and we give God thanks. We are thankful to the Lord today. Amen? And just as we begin this morning, I want to share something just kind of devotionally. It won't be real in-depth or hard-hitting. We'll get back into Acts next week, chapter 15. We started that 2 weeks ago. We got the verse 1, and that was it. But it was good, and I can't wait for verse 2. It's going to be even better. But just this morning, before we begin, I want to talk about being thankful and the things that we have to give God praise for. And then we're going to take a look at a story. It's not one that maybe we think about a whole lot. It's kind of one of those Bible or gospel stories that's nestled into the gospels. This one happens to be in Luke, and it's just one of those stories. It's kind of off to the side, but there's so much wonderful truth in it, and especially when it comes to what it looks like to be thankful and what it looks like to be unthankful. There's a few things in there we're going to look at. But before we do that, could we just take a minute? If and I'm not asking for, you don't have to give a long speech. Matter of fact, we don't have time for that, as much as I would love to hear your testimonies and long speeches to the glory of God. But just maybe a word or two in thanks. So just, if you're feeling brave this morning and you want to just pop up or shout out from where you are, just something that you're thankful for. And just to give God the praise and the thanks. We don't often do this. Sometimes we share testimonies. But let's do that this morning, just as we begin. Something that you might want to just give God thanks for, praise for. Anybody at all this morning brave enough to shout out something? Salvation. Amen. How many can say amen to that this morning? It is good to be saved. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. Our church. Amen. What he said. What he said. Our church. Everett? What did you say? I'm sorry, Everett? New friends, amen. Yes, what a blessing. Look, I'll tell you, there's some very special people here, and it's been such a blessing to see the Lord answer prayer. And I don't know how special this makes you feel, but some of you are an answer to prayer. Did you know that? We just love ministering with folks and meeting folks and being blessed by you. So amen to that. New friends, yes, sir. What was that? Sanctification, yes, we are sanctified, made holy, set apart for God's purposes. And you know what I've noticed? God doesn't want to just save me and put me on a shelf and look at me, oh, isn't that nice, you know? He's like, oh, I'll put you to work, man. Get out into the fields and serve and produce fruits and all of those things. So, amen, we are sanctified for the Lord's purposes. Anybody else? Yes, sir. His loving kindness. Amen, and everlasting. Amen to that. Grateful for his loving kindness. Yes.
I'm thankful for all of those things that have been mentioned, but I'm also thankful to have a husband
who's
more than
Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Maria. A husband that does more than we can imagine and we can imagine, and we are thankful for you as well, Maria, and for the example that we can see in your life. God's got a plan, but yes, amen. Anybody else this morning in regards to something you want to just give God thanks for? Answer prayer. Amen. Thank you, Norma. Yeah, he listens to us. So many people don't listen to me. You know, I want people to hear me. I've got some grievances. I've got some concerns. And it doesn't matter where I go, people aren't interested. But God always has time for us. Answered prayer. Amen. Anybody else? The ability to pray. Yep. This morning we learned about there are many in our nation, even in our world, that can't hear and can't see. But, you know, we can pray. No matter where we are, what anybody tells us, you can't stop me from praying because there is a holy sanctuary within my heart that only me and the Lord know about, and I can pray all the time. So, amen. A couple of others. Yes. A God that we can trust in, yes, amen, who is faithful and unchanging, the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's astounding to know that the same God that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob served, that's the same God we know and serve. He's our Father. Amen. Debbie? Amen. Amen. Thank you. Well, we reciprocate that. It's pretty amazing how the Lord allows us to come full circle. We're giving back what you guys invested so much into us. That's kind of the way that we see it. But God is so good, sometimes it's hard to imagine that He is as amazing as He is. Amen. Anybody else? Word of testimony. Yes.
Mm.
Amen. Thank you, Nancy. Spoken by a foster parent who understands the challenges and appreciates that very much. And that's a good point, by the way, is we watch those children walk downstairs every Sunday to junior church, and Mo and Cheryl, they put on whatever armor is necessary, and they go down there, and they teach, by the way. This isn't a babysitting service, by the way, that takes place. It's not just so that we can stay up here and keep them safe. No, they are ministering to them the truth of God's Word. And so it's so wonderful to know that our children are having truth and righteousness, morality, love, kindness poured into them. And so, yeah, pray for Mo and Cheryl and those Sunday school teachers and those that work with children. We are so grateful for them. Amen. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. God's availability. Yep. You never have to. What is Lucy? Lucy on Charlie Brown, she's got that little stand and the sign, the doctor is in or the doctor is out. I don't know why I thought of that. But the Lord God is always in. You never show up at the throne room of God and He's not there. He always is available. Amen. Somebody else had their hand up there. Yes, ma'am. Family. Amen. Yes, amen, that's right. Family in general, whether it's our immediate family, those that you came here with today, or family that you met when you got here. We're all part of the family of God as believers, and it really is truly amazing and wonderful. So amen, and we are praying for Jim. Keep Jim in your prayers as well. The Lord would continue to minister and strengthen him. Somebody else, I saw another hand up. Yes, sir.
Family.
Family, amen, amen. You know, it's interesting, it isn't the money, is it? It's not the prestige or the fame. Those aren't the things that are going to comfort us in our greatest needs. It's our family. It's our Lord. It's our loved ones. It's those things that we treasure so much. Time for maybe one or two more. Anybody else?
Our health.
Our health. Yeah. Amen. Some days such as it is. Yep. Yes, sir? Amen. That's right. Immediately, when Peter cried out, Jesus didn't let him sink to the bottom. Immediately, he reached out and he saved Peter. The moment Peter cried out, and as Gary said, he is always there for us when we need him, never leaving us nor forsaking us. And so I appreciate that this morning. You know, it says in Psalm 100, and we're not going to turn there, but it says in verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgivings and into his courts with praise. And so this morning, you've literally obeyed the scriptures in coming into the house of God with praise and thanksgiving. And every one of us has something on our heart that we would give God thanks and praise for. And one of the things that I thank Him for is not only Jesus Christ and the plan of salvation and this church, but for one another. And it's been mentioned several times, family, and that includes our church family. We're going to get to spend eternity together. We're stuck with one another one way or another. And so we may as well start getting used to it and appreciating it, and I do so much. Just for a few minutes this morning, could we go to Luke chapter 17? Luke chapter 17. And as I said, next week we'll get back into Acts, but there's a little story here, and it does have to do with being thankful. What does it look like to be thankful, and what does it look like not to be thankful? You know, the Bible says in 1 Timothy, I don't know the reference, I shouldn't try, somewhere in 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy, it speaks about the fact that we're in the end time, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, I think it is, that there is going to be many that are going to be unthankful. It's one of the signs of the end times. Now, we might suggest that it's always, there's always been a spirit of unthankfulness around us, and that probably certainly is true. But boy, it seems to really be accelerating these days. Unthankfulness, this attitude where nothing is really appreciated, everything is, you know, throwawayable, and nobody really has, or there's many that don't have a real appreciation for the things that we get to enjoy in life. There's unthankfulness in our lives sometimes, and the Lord would have to change that if we let Him. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 tells us to give thanks in everything, the good and the bad. Can we be thankful for the difficult things as well? Does that even make sense? We can be. Yeah, it's the difficult things that teach us and instruct us and strengthen us. And it provides us with an opportunity to experience God's strength. When I'm weak, God reveals His strength to me. If I had all the strength I needed, I would never learn about God's strength. When I'm in trouble, guess what I get? I get to learn about God's grace. And boy, God's grace is amazing. And if I was never in trouble, if I never had any difficulties, I wouldn't experience His grace and His kindness and His mercy and His strength. And so sometimes difficulties come to reveal to us the wonder of who God is. Because without the challenges, we would never turn to Him. We would never consider Him. And so we can even be thankful for the difficulties that come. So just in regards to the day today being Thanksgiving Sunday, I thought we'd take a look at this little story in Luke chapter 17, please. Luke chapter 17, and we're going to start here in verse 11. Christ, as He has been doing throughout the book of Luke and the Gospels in general, throughout His ministry, He is teaching and healing and instructing and all of these things that we know of Christ. And in verse 11 it says, "And it came to pass, as He went to Jerusalem, that He passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee." Let me just pray quickly, Father, in these few minutes. We pray for Your blessing, Lord, that this account, true account, Lord, involving Christ and these individuals, that, Father, You would use it to impact our lives here this morning. And God, Your word is so precious, so valuable, so mighty, that we can look at a little story like this and leave here today having our hearts changed. And we ask, Lord, that You would do that in some manner. Father, Your Spirit would work within us. In Jesus' name we pray, Father. Amen. Christ is traveling. It says He came to pass as He went to Jerusalem, that He passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Of course, Samaria wasn't a very popular hangout spot if you were a Jew. The Samaritans and the Jewish people didn't quite get along, and they had some words from time to time with one another. And so they kind of stayed separated. And Christ was not afraid to spend time with anyone. And He, in chapter 4 of John, He even said, "I must needs go to Samaria. I got to go. There's ministry there." And He had the conversation with the woman at the well. And so Christ was careful to share the gospel everywhere He went and to go everywhere to share the gospel. And no change here. In verse 11, we see Him continuing to travel. And He is in the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And I just thought about this quickly. You know, the Lord provides us with many opportunities to know Him throughout our lives. You know, it would be a real shame if the Lord only introduced Himself to us one time in our life. Can you imagine if God said, "Nope, I'm going to introduce Myself. I'm going to share the invitation to be forgiven and saved one time. Some point in a human's life, I will share that invitation once, and if they reject it, that's it. No more invitations." That would be scary, because it took several times for many of us to accept that invitation, to say, "Yes, Lord, I do submit my life to You. Yes, I do believe that You are the Son of God and my only hope, and I do want Your forgiveness and Your salvation." It took several times, several invitations before I finally yielded to that. So I just love that even in this first verse, we see Christ. This isn't the first time He's been in this area. And we see once again another opportunity for those in that area to receive an invitation to believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And God is so great, or so gracious to us. And this is one of the things that makes us thankful to Him, His goodness to us. You know, sometimes people reject an invitation of help. And that rejection offends people. Has anybody ever, you know, you've offered to help somebody, they say, "No, it's okay, I don't want your help," and you've been a little offended. Sometimes we're a little offended. I'm so thankful that the Lord never gets offended, that instead He is gracious and He is willing to share that invitation with us over and over again. Verse 12, it says, "And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off." And if you're a little kid, as soon as you hear the word leper, you get excited, but it's not the kind of leper you're thinking about, right? It's not those little lions that have the spots. But a leper in this day and age was an individual that had a disease, probably we know that, leprosy. And this disease was life-changing. Now, today it isn't. We can get some medicine today. It's a disease that is easily cured if you don't live in a nation that keeps that cure from you or makes it too expensive for you to purchase the medicine. You can be healed from leprosy today. But in this day and age, not so much. And when you had leprosy, it pretty much was a death sentence, a slow, long, grueling death sentence. And leprosy would take your health, your well-being, but it would also physically change your appearance as the flesh would literally change and corrupt and even rot in plain sight of other individuals. And so it was obvious that you had this disease. And if it wasn't obvious, it was law that you made it clear that other people stayed away from you because you were unclean. And so you spent your days by yourself or with others who were sick and diseased and miserable. And you had to tell your loved ones, your family members, your fellow citizens and neighbors and friends, stay away from me, stay away from me. You know, in the midst of a disease where you were already so broken and so discouraged and so worn out and so concerned, and then you also have to send away those that might encourage you and help you and minister to you, because this disease was so contagious. 10 lepers Jesus Christ finds in this village. 10 men. And they are separated not only physically from their loved ones, but also ceremoniously. They are ceremonially unclean. They can't participate in worship, can't go to church. As a matter of fact, they have to see the priest to be told to stay away or to be told you can now come back. And so to experience that humiliation, That terrible news that, I'm sorry, this is leprosy, and it's very clear, and so now you need to stay away. And we'll keep up with you, and we'll find out if this gets better or worse. But this was a separation because of an uncleanness. Verse 12, it says, "And he entered into a certain village. There met with him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off." You know, I can remember as a little kid watching all the cool kids or the kids that got along or knew each other really well having fun, and I'd be standing over there kind of shy and standing afar off, waiting for that invitation, waiting for someone to say, "Hey, do you want to play with us?" And, "Oh, okay, sure." You know, we've probably all been there or understand that. It doesn't feel very nice to be excluded, to have to keep your distance because others don't want you around. And again, I'm speaking of a disease. But we can relate in some way, shape, or form. That separation, that ostracization, to be said, we don't want you around us. And it's very obvious as to the reasons why, but still, they had to stay away from others. They had to stay away from this place of worship. They were separated because of the disease of leprosy, because of their uncleanness. You know what speaks to me about this? It's not to over-spiritualize this verse, but there's a very clear connection that comes to my mind, that the Bible teaches that I was born in sin. I was born with a sin nature, not just me, but everybody, the Bible says. We are born separated from God. We are born with an uncleanness that separates us from God because God is holy. The whole reason why these lepers had to stay away from the healthy people is so that the healthy people would remain safe from the diseases and the side effects of those diseases. And in a similar way, we are separated from God because of our sinfulness. The Bible says that. We all fall short of the glory of God. We are separated because of our sinfulness. There's a great gulf, in a sense, fixed between us and God. And it's the bridge of the cross that saves us, the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we are born with sinfulness. And it's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that cleanses us so that we can be brought into the family of God and be a part of the fellowship. We were just talking about and giving God thanks for how wonderful it is to have family and church family, and it really is wonderful. And that's the invitation that God extends to us. And it's not leprosy that separates us from Christ, it's sin. And the Bible says that Christ provided a way to be cleansed or to be healed from that sin separation, to be brought into the family of God. That's the good news. These guys are about to get some good news. Let's keep reading here. It says in verse 13, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They see Christ. They recognize Christ in some way, in some fashion. They understand this is the one that's been healing people. This is the one who has been referred to. This is Christ. And so they cry out to him for mercy. And I love that. I love that they are so desperate that they're not too proud to ask for help. You know, there's a lot of people that pride will be the reason why they never come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. There are many that are so imprisoned by their own pride that they'll never enjoy a place called heaven, that they'll never enjoy forgiveness of their sins, a relationship with the God that created them and loves them so much. Pride keeps them from crying out for help. Even in the midst of their clearly diseased or sinfulness, they recognize that they have problems, but they don't want God's forgiveness, his mercy, or his help. And it takes a lot. Sometimes pride will keep us. Can you imagine if one of these 10 lepers had saw Christ and said, yeah, I heard about him. I heard he can heal people. I don't believe it, and I don't care. I'm going home. See you later. They would have missed out on what Christ had for them in this moment, healing. And it's often pride that keeps people from being willing to cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you again, not to do damage to the text or to over-spiritualize, but I can't help but see the connections here. That in the same way these men that were full of leprosy and disease were willing to cry out. They were so desperate, so broken. They knew that about themselves. They recognized that death was coming eventually, that they were isolated, they were separated, they were living in this terrible condition, but they saw Christ and they saw an opportunity for help, for hope. And so they cried out for mercy. And friends, if there's anyone within the sound of my voice that's never asked the Lord to forgive them and save them, it kind of looks like this. To recognize, Lord, I am a sinner. And according to what the preacher said, according even better to what the Bible says, that sin has separated me from you, and it will remain that way unless that sin is covered up, unless that disease is rectified, is cured. And according to the Word of God, Jesus Christ is the cure. No man comes to the Father but by me. He says, if you cry out, whosoever believeth in me will be saved. That all who seek the Lord Jesus Christ will be born again, will be saved. These fellows cried out for salvation, cried out to be healed, cried out for mercy, for help. And that's my prayer for many around me, that they'll cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let pride, don't let doubt, don't let shame. You know, there's some people too ashamed to be identified with Jesus or even Christians. Different times I'll be out in public somewhere and I'll just talk freely and I sometimes forget and I'll say, hey, how you doing? Yeah, God is good, or Lord bless you. I said that to someone the other day and I could tell it was a little bit awkward. I forget who it was now, but it wasn't someone that knew me, but I was so used to saying Lord bless, I told this cashier or whoever it was, Lord bless you, and I could tell they were, Lord bless me. I'm stuck here at Giant Tiger. That's not much of a, I don't know what they thought. We don't want doubts. We don't want pride. We don't want bitterness. We don't want hatred. We don't want lies or deception or darkness keep us from crying out for mercy. This is the Son of God. He is our only hope for salvation. If you hear nothing else, hear that. Jesus Christ is your only hope to escape Judgment Day. And putting your faith and your trust in him is God's will for you. This is the will of the Father, he said, that you believe on him who he has sent. These 10 lepers, these 10 men, sick of their sickness, sick of their disease, sick of being separated, standing afar off, they see the hope, it's Jesus, and they cry out for mercy. Please, be willing to do the same. Don't let anything keep you from crying out to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, for mercy. Verse 14, it says, and when he saw them, he said unto them, go, show yourselves unto the priests. So it's interesting because this is where the ceremonial aspect of being a leper comes into play. In this day and age, It was the priests that determined that you had leprosy, that you needed to separate yourself, and it was the priests that determined whether or not you were cleared or cleansed from that leprosy. And they would affirm it, and they would say, okay, yep, you've been cleansed, and you've gone through the rituals, and you're free to enter the house of God again. You're free to enter society again. And so Jesus Christ says to these guys, go back to the guy that told you you were diseased to begin with. Go back to the one that sent you out of the house of God, that separated you from everybody else. Go back to him and show yourself to him. And I just got thinking, you know, it must have been interesting. These guys, I wonder if some of them thought to themselves, I don't want to go back to those priests. They're the ones that, you know, that shunned me. They're the ones that sent me away, though they had to. Or perhaps some of them thought, well, what good is it going back to the priests? They can't help me. They haven't been able to help me this whole time. And yet Christ directs them to present themselves to the priests. And I believe this was for a couple of different reasons, not just ceremonial, but also those priests were about to see these 10 lepers arrive on the scene, every one of them healed of their leprosy. And when the priests asked, how did this happen? They were all going to say, we met Jesus. And those priests were about to hear a sermon from 10 previous lepers that the power of the Lord Jesus Christ is clear. And so Christ always knows how to do what he does. He's the Son of God and perfect, and there's sometimes more than one thing going on at a time. So he says, go to the priest, present yourselves to the priest. So number one, the priests were going to understand that Jesus Christ did this. It was because of the power of the Son of God that they were healed from their leprosy. But secondly, this would be an opportunity for these men to demonstrate humility and faith, which is absolutely necessary in order to be saved. You see, what would have happened as Jesus gave them direction, go show yourselves to the priest? What would have happened if one of those guys or all of them had said, what for? That's a stupid idea. It's the priest that told us to stay away. And the priest isn't going to help. What good is it to go see him? I don't know what you're talking about. I'm going home. Now, what would have happened? Well, chances are they wouldn't have been cured of their leprosy. You see, the instructions of the Lord were pretty clear. Go and show yourself to the priests. And if they had doubted or if pride had said, no, I hate what you have to say. I don't want to go see those guys and I don't care what you want to tell me and I'm leaving, I'm going my own way, then they would have died in their leprosy. But Jesus Christ gave some instructions. And again, the reason I believe, twofold, to demonstrate humility, to be willing to do that, but also faith, to demonstrate faith. These are the instructions. Go and show yourself to the priest. Here's what happens when they do. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. You see, the acts of faith, that's what was happening. They were demonstrating faith by obeying the instructions. The Bible says that whosoever believeth on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. And when we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, he died for our sins, he's willing to forgive us and save us when we ask him to, that is a demonstration of faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 tells us that when we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, then we will be saved. And similarly, this direction that Christ gave was an opportunity for them to demonstrate faith and humility. Yes, we're going to do this. We believe you. And away they went. And off they go. And it was while they were going to see the priest that they were cleansed. Just quickly, verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turn back. I love that. He's on his way. He's with his 9 buddies, and they're going like, are you sure this is a good idea? I don't know. Hey, guys, I got all my fingers. I haven't had all my fingers for years. Look, hey, I think I'm cured. I don't know how it unfolded, but each one of those individuals would have stopped and would have begun to recognize about themselves that the disease of leprosy had left their body at some point from the time they left Christ, started to follow those instructions, and headed to see the priest. At some point along the way, they were healed and they realized it. And this one guy stops when he realizes it, and he turns back, and he can't wait. He is so thankful. He is so grateful. He's not going to wait. And it says that he stops and he turns back. Verse 15. And with a loud voice, glorified God. You can imagine if you're dealing with leprosy your whole life and all of a sudden you've been healed and you realize it was Jesus Christ. And you cried out for mercy and you have received healing and mercy. And he can't even wait. He doesn't continue on to go see those priests. No, he turns around right there on the spot. He drops down. and he begins to rejoice. He begins with a loud voice to glorify God. Verse 16, he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And that's interesting and noteworthy. You know, it was more likely that this Samaritan didn't understand the ceremonial ramifications of leprosy or the priest or those rituals. He was a Samaritan, unfamiliar with all of those things. But the other nine fellows seemed to be the Jews, who would have been familiar, because it only mentions him being the Samaritan. And yet this individual was the one that stopped, praised God, falls on his face before the Lord Jesus Christ, and gives thanks. Out of the 10 individuals that were healed, only one of them gives the Lord Jesus Christ thanks. And you know, I mentioned earlier that this is a story about being thankful and what it looks like. This is what it looks like. It's gratitude. It's gratefulness. It's recognizing who Jesus Christ is and what he's provided, what he's done for us, and being thankful beyond anything and everything else, no matter what. You know, I guarantee you, even if that guy had a crummy day the next day, stubbed his toe, let the cat out, now he can't find the cat, burnt his toast, I bet you he was still pretty thankful he didn't have leprosy anymore. But just because he didn't have leprosy didn't mean he didn't have a bad day once in a while. And yet we can still be thankful because of our salvation, because of who Christ is and what he's done for us. What happened to the other nine guys just as we close? Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? Jesus Christ says to this one guy, hey, wasn't there a whole group of you guys? Wasn't there 10 of you that came to see me and asked for mercy and I sent you away to see the priests? And where are the other ones? Where are the nine, he says? Verse 18, there are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. Only one turned back to give God thanks. That's kind of sad when you think about it. You know, that there's so much to be thankful for. And though those other nine experienced healing just like that one did, they didn't bother to stop to give the Lord Jesus Christ thanks. They just carried on their way. And Christ notices that, by the way. I think that's interesting. He expected thanks. He expected some appreciation, some gratitude, and I think that's fair. And so he asks, where are the other nine? There's only you. Only you have come back to give me thanks. Here's what he says as we close, verse 19. He said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. The Lord Jesus Christ, I believe, not only giving instruction in regards to his physical healing here, but as this man, the Samaritan, is on his face before the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ tells him his faith has made thee whole. And do you know the truth is that our faith in Jesus Christ will spiritually rescue us from that sinful disease that I mentioned earlier, that sin nature that we all have, the nature that separates us from God, like leprosy separated them from the rest of society. That once we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we are forgiven of all of our sin, and we are born again. We are saved, sanctified, and brought into the family of God forever. Not based on anything we've done, but based on what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us. And if we believe it and put our faith in him, then we'll be saved, cleansed, born again. And then like that leper, we're so thankful for that. And I see that even today as we gather together, and many of us and all of us in some way, even in our hearts, demonstrate thanks to God for who he is and what he's done for us. And so I'm glad that we can be like that one leper. Though we were riddled with that disease, now we are saved, we are cleansed, we are forgiven, and we just want to fall down before the Lord and give him thanks today on this Thanksgiving Sunday. So I appreciate your listening ears and for your love to myself and my wife today and for your love for the Lord. Father, we do love you. We thank you so much for your grace and your kindness to us, for your love in sending your son to die for us in our place so that we could be forgiven when we ask, saved when we receive that invitation to believe on him. Father, I do pray again today that if there's one individual that's not made that commitment to trust in Jesus Christ, if there's one individual that's never bowed their head and said, Lord, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me and save me. God, I pray that today they would pray that prayer, that today they would invite the Lord Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior, to ask for that forgiveness, and to be brought into the family of God, cleansed from that eternal separating disease that is called sin. God, I pray that not one here today would leave this church without trusting in Jesus Christ. So, Lord, thank you for who you are. Thank you for your Son. And on this Thanksgiving Sunday, we give you great praise and thanks for all you've done for us, Father. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.